This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. A prenatal diagnosis of osteogenesis imperfecta, a rare genetic disorder also known as brittle bone disease, can be devastating for expecting parents. The most severe cases are often labeled lethal, leading some families to believe there are no options for treatment. But new research from Nemours Children's Health challenges that belief and finds that many of these infants not only survive, but can significantly benefit from timely medical treatment. Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon recently caught up with Dr. Ricky Carroll, a physician on the skeletal dysplasia and palliative care teams at Nemours, to learn more about the study's findings and how doctors are rethinking this rare condition.
Dr. Carroll, let's start with the basics here before we get to your study. What exactly is osteogenesis imperfecta, which is also known commonly as OI or brittle bone disease, which I'll be sticking to both of those for the most part today. So what is OI? How fatal is it? How common is it? You know, when is it diagnosed? How is it detected? There's a lot going on here. So if you could just give us the rundown on brittle bone disease.
I typically refer to it as OI. So OI is a condition that is typically caused by a change in the collagen 1 gene. So collagen 1 is really important for your bones and really important for kind of the strength and the building block kind of the bone, or kind of the structure of the bone. So a change in the collagen 1 gene makes the bones more fragile and more likely to fracture. Many, but not all, people with OI have a change in that gene. And then there can be other associated conditions with OI outside of the skeleton. So for example, OI can also affect the teeth. It can cause something called dentinogenesis imperfecta, or DI, which causes brittleness to the teeth. It can cause blue sclera. So the whites of the eyes might have like a blue or gray tint to them. Some people with OI have that, some people don't. In general, skeletal dysplasias are very rare, and OI is very rare. And OI is a spectrum. So it's like it's a very wide spectrum condition.
You know, for you at Nemours Children's Health, how often, at least anecdotally, doctor, how often does Nemours treat brittle bone disease, regardless of when it's diagnosed and whatnot? Are you able to anecdotally, you know, give us an idea of what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm part of a big multidisciplinary team. I think of myself as being on kind of the medical side of the OI team. You know, myself as a kind of a complex care pediatrician. We have also a physician who's a geneticist on our team. We work with genetic counselors, nurse practitioners, and PAs. And then we work really closely with our orthopedic colleagues, physical therapy, anesthesia, neurosurgery when needed, ENT when needed, pulmonology when needed. So we're kind of a big team. We all work together to care for these patients. And we start as early as prenatally. So we have an advanced delivery unit, and we'll sometimes see moms who, you know, parents who have been given a diagnosis for their baby as having OI. When we meet with them prenatally, and if the family decides, they can even deliver here at Nemours, and then we would care for that baby in our NICU. So we always, you know, we commonly have a baby or two with OI in our NICU. For children outside of the hospital setting, we have a multidisciplinary clinic, and we see patients on Mondays in that clinic. So we'll see, you know, a handful of patients with OI on Monday afternoons as a multidisciplinary team. And then we also use certain medications that help to strengthen the bone, and those are via infusion. And so those patients will come into our infusion center during the week for those infusions. So on any given week, we'll see, you know, 5 to 15 patients with OI.
I can imagine how difficult a diagnosis of OI is for parents, but How do you and the team at Nemours navigate that and counsel parents through it?
Yeah, I think for families who are just being given the diagnosis for the first time, it can be overwhelming. Families come to us in all different avenues. It's uncommon for us to be giving them the first diagnosis. Typically, someone else has already told the family, you know, we're concerned about OI and we want you to see this team. If a family is coming to us prenatally, I do a, you know, our team does a prenatal consult and we sit and talk about what OI is and we talk about the spectrum. The OIF, Osteogenesis Imperfecta Foundation, is a national foundation that has a ton of resources for families. It has like a prenatal toolkit or a toolkit for families when they first are given a diagnosis, and that's for free on their website. And we'll sometimes print that out for families. We'll try to connect them with other families so that they can see other, you know, infants, toddlers, children with OI that are thriving to kind of, and give them other families that are, can be a resource to them as they navigate this, you know, new diagnosis and new future. And that's prenatally, but there are some families who come to us in clinic. So there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of end up with our team. And we try to support the family wherever they are.
Right. Well, pivoting to the study, you and your colleagues examined cases of 18 infants with brittle bone disease who were cared for in the Nemours NICU between September of 2019 and August of last year, that being 2024. 12 of those 18 have been given a prenatal diagnosis of, quote, lethal or, quote, possibly lethal OI. 4 were diagnosed with less severe forms of OI, and severity-specific diagnostic information was now available for the remaining 2. All 18 infants survived to hospital discharge, and 16 are alive today with minimal breathing or feeding support needs. Those findings would appear to dispel this long-held narrative that brittle bone disease is automatically fatal when diagnosed before birth, but from where you sit, Dr. Carroll, what do you make of your study's findings and what they mean in the overall picture of how we generally view and diagnose and treat brittle bone disease?
Yeah, I think that what it tells us is that we're really, you know, we don't have the tools to be able to prognosticate how a baby with OI is going to do right now. And so we should be really hesitant to give the diagnosis of quote unquote lethal OI because we don't as a medical society have really good tools or know really how to prognosticate on how an infant with OI is going to do long term. You know, the common phrase that we use is genotype doesn't equal phenotype. And what that means is that we know that even when people have the exact same gene change, their OI can look very different. Like even within a family, like siblings who have the exact same gene change in the collagen one gene can look really different with their OI. And that's because we have lots of other genes in our body and because our environment matters and our diet matters and our activity matters and all these other things that affect our body and our growth and our development and who we are and how our skeleton grows and all of those things. So, you know, just looking at the gene alone and looking in the literature and seeing a case report of a baby who, you know, had a gene change who died doesn't mean automatically that the baby in front of you is also going to die.
So going forward then, whether it's the, you know, using the right language and terminology and getting away from the term lethal and other things that encompasses or other forms of that word, as far as what you want future research to look like or to examine, you know, from as far as caring for infants with OI goes, from delivery to physical therapy, what would you like that research to look like going forward? And then also, I'm curious as far as the amount of physicians that have experience in this realm that are charged with treating this, Is it kind of a hand-in-hand thing to bolster the amount of physicians with experience with OI and treating OI and caring for infants with OI, along with kind of reimagining the approach to this kind of research? Are those two things kind of a, is that a package deal? What are your thoughts there?
So what I will say are, a couple of things that I want to say. The first thing that I want clinicians to take away from this paper is that we should be hesitant to use the term lethal and that we should be offering life-sustaining interventions for these families. A lot of babies with OI can survive. And so for some families who want to trial life-sustaining interventions, I think that's very reasonable, and I think that all families should be offered that as an option. In terms of future research, I think that we need to be thinking about how we can better prognosticate. So, are there any clear or more accurate signs for a baby in utero where we can tell a family, because there are some babies that truly their OI is so significant that there's not enough lungs there to be able for the baby to breathe, to get oxygen in and carbon dioxide out, no matter how much medical support we give them. And it would be nice to be able to figure out which babies are that early on. And so studying, the prenatal factors, maybe getting additional early prenatal imaging might be helpful. So that's kind of the next research step I would think about. And then in terms of your second question, I want to get the word out. I want teams to know that we should be offering these things to families and that there's possibility that these babies can survive. But I also think that a multidisciplinary team is really important for these infants. And so, we always encourage teams and families to reach out to us so that we can help from afar or help bring the infant here for specialized care.
Thanks to Dr. Ricky Carroll, a physician on the skeletal dysplasia and palliative care teams at Nemours Children's Hospital, and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Arts Playlist, where we learn how the Delaware Symphony Orchestra is giving local students a chance to experience classical music from a live orchestra this month. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.